So my family did something this summer that I hope never to repeat again. For a variety of reasons, as we were planning out our vacation, we determined it'd be best for me to travel down to Texas with the family for the first week, and then to leave them as they continued their trip on further south to see more of the family while I flew back here to continue work and life here in Kansas City. And then for the next 3 weeks, they were down in Texas while I was up here. Can I just tell you that those were the longest and loneliest 3 weeks of my life? I love my wife and I love my kids, and I want to be able to spend time with them and enjoy their presence and to share life with them. They're important to me. Well, if any of you have ever experienced the love of a good parent-child relationship, if you've ever had that experience of missing someone and longing for their return and then rejoicing when they come back, I want you to kind of call to mind this morning those feelings of love and warmth and togetherness. See, today in our epistle reading, Paul gives us a beautiful word picture for the gospel. Paul says that we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. So if you can hold on to that deep feeling of love, that's the sense of what God has for you. God has adopted you as His children. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to share life with you and to fill your lives with peace and joy and happiness. And yes, sin has driven a wedge between us and God, but even that wasn't enough to stop God's love. And so God sent His Son Jesus to come down into this world to pay the penalty of sin for us, that we might receive that adoption, that we might come back into this relationship with Him. So when you think about your relationship with God, think about it in the terms of that feeling of love and care and warmth that a parent has for their child. So as we dig into this passage of Galatians, to better understand this love that God has for us, there are actually a number of different word pictures that Paul uses to help lay out this picture. And the first of them actually is a little bit confusing. Paul says in verse 23 that before faith came, we were under the law. But more literally, it says that we were held captive under the law. Now, why would a good, loving God who cares about us and who wants to be with us want us to be held captive and imprisoned under the law? Well, that's, I think, where perhaps our ESV translation doesn't do such a great job in this particular word choice. The word held captive means to keep guard. It can mean to hold someone a prisoner, but it can also mean to protect, to keep watch over. It is used of a garrison, a military garrison that is protecting a nearby town. It's a sense of protection. This, I think, is what Paul intends. It's made clear that this is his intention by the next word he uses. He refers to the law as a guardian. The Greek word there is paedagogos, and I know that probably sounds strange to many of you, but if any of you are teachers, you're probably familiar with the word pedagogy. That is the method and the practice of teaching. And that word pedagogy comes from the same root word as the paedagogos, the guardian, the teacher. The paedagogos in Greek and Roman culture was the household slave who was charged with caring for and watching over and teaching the children of the family until they grew up. Modern equivalent might be that of a nanny. And Paul says that the law functions as this guardian, this teacher, to watch over us. Well, there's two primary functions of the law. First is to teach us how to live. The law is God's description of how this world works. The God who created this world designed it to work in a certain way, and He gave us laws to tell us how it's going to work. And He says, do things like honor your father and your mother, and don't do things like steal and commit murder, because these things are not good for you. And when you do these things and others do these things and live in these ways that are contrary to God's law, it actually hurts you. And when you follow God's law, life actually goes better for you. The law is there to teach us how to live. Second purpose of the law is this: It is to prove that we can't be perfect, and it is to lead us to Jesus. See, when we really begin to take the law seriously, it doesn't take long before we realize we're not perfect. I mean, take any of the Ten Commandments. Read the explanation in the Small Catechism, and it won't be long before you're going, yep, broke that one. Yep, broke that one. Yep, broke that one. Right on down the list, right? If you're really attempting to follow the law, you very quickly realize you can't keep it. We can't be perfect. And so the law tells us that we need Jesus. And so Paul in Galatians continues on in verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, under the law. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God. You can't do it on your own. You can't fix yourself. And so God sends Jesus to come into this world and to fix this relationship with him and to adopt us into his family as his sons and daughters. Paul says, you are baptized into Christ. You're baptized into his life and into his death and then into his resurrection. He says, you have put on Christ. You are clothed with him. Christ now covers over your sin. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. He doesn't see your mistakes anymore. What he sees is the perfection of Jesus. Because you've been brought into God's family. You've been adopted as his son or his daughter. And he sees you just like he sees the Son of God. Pretty cool gift. So what does it mean for us then to live as sons and daughters? First, it means this. It means that we live under grace. And we see we've been talking about this positive relationship between parents and children. But to be real honest, some of us didn't have a great relationship with our dad, right? And all of us, at some point, have been failed by our earthly parents. And sometimes we kind of take that hurt and that failure of our parents into this relationship with God. And we carry on our relationship with God as if we need to do something in order to earn our love. As if we're not good enough on our own, and sometimes God's not going to love us, and so we've got to fix ourselves and work really hard and do a lot of good things in order to make God love us. That's the kind of the way we live sometimes. But if that describes your relationship with God, then please hear this. You have been adopted as his son or as his daughter, and he loves you dearly. There is nothing you could do to make him love you more, and there is nothing you could do to make him love you less. He finds joy in you. He wants you to live in the freedom and the joy of his love. He wants you to follow his law because it's good for you, but when you break it, as we all will, it doesn't change his love for you. It doesn't stop him from loving you and caring you. You are under grace, not under the law. So live in the freedom and the joy that comes from being under that grace. Second part then is this, is that we receive others in grace. Verse 28 says this, and this is what Pastor Mark was referring to in the children's message. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, there's this Jewish prayer that Paul would have been very familiar with from his days in Judaism. Every good Jew would have prayed this part of his morning prayers. Lord, I thank you that you did not make me a Gentile or a slave or a woman. And if that sounds a little bit shocking to you, that's the impact of the gospel on the world. You see, Paul says that all of those divisions have been canceled out and removed by the grace of Jesus. When Jesus was sent and Jesus caused us to be adopted as God's sons and daughters, then all of those things that caused divisions between us and barriers between us were removed. We have all been brought into the same family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and there should be nothing that separates us from one another. We receive others in grace. So I serve on the board for LUMA, Lutheran Urban Mission Agency, and in that capacity, I've been able to see some great things that Lutherans here in Kansas City have been doing in terms of reaching out to communities of African Americans and Hispanics and Romo and Congolese refugees, reaching out to them with the love of Jesus and sharing with them what we have received. I've also, in that same capacity, gotten to hear some stories of some Lutheran churches that haven't done such a great job of that, that have said, oh, we don't want those people in our church. What a shame, right? We have been received by God, adopted as His sons and daughters, loved deeply by Him, and He wants us to extend that same love and that same grace to others, because we have all been made one in Jesus. Last point then is this. As we live as sons and daughters, we cry out to our Father. Verse 6 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And here again, there are a couple of powerful word pictures here for us. First word picture there is that word Abba, Aramaic word. It's something a little bit akin to the English word daddy. It's a term of respect, certainly, but also of great love in this intimate relationship. The Jews saw God as holy and powerful and mighty, but other and distant and unapproachable. And here we learn that we get to call our Father in heaven, Daddy, to come and to draw near to Him. It's a powerful picture. The other word picture there, I think, is one that we oftentimes miss out on. It says that we are to cry out, Abba, Father. Well, that word cry out is the same word in the Greek that is used to describe Jesus crying out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the idea is this, is that we are able to cry out and to bring our needs to God. See, this life, even for us as Christians, is not always easy. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so in this life, when life is good, we cry out with joy to our Father and celebrate with Him. And when life is a little bit more difficult, then we have the privilege of crying out in pain to our Abba Father, who hears us and who cares for us and who is with us in that pain. My dear friends, you've been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. You have been adopted as sons and as daughters of God. So live as His children. Live under grace and receive others in His grace and cry out to your Father in heaven who finds great joy in you. Live as His children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.